For our scripture reading, I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you have a copy of the Word of God, that's where we're going to be opening to the Word of God today. And so I invite you to open there and as we read the passage, and then we'll look to share some thoughts with you here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Through you though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." It's good to be with you this morning and share from God's Word. Over the past year, I have worked for an organization here in Holland called Grant Me Hope. And as part of that ministry, they advocate for the adoption of older foster kids. They put on videos, and maybe you've seen some of them on social media or on TV, but they put videos that promote children, older children that have not been adopted, and they look to see them connected with potential parents that and families that would adopt them. And that a couple years ago, the vision came. Our founder Helen Zirup wanted to add homes because she heard about the ministry, or she heard about the reality that some of these young children or older children do not get adopted. And so she wanted to add some homes where these, when they graduate, or we call it aged out of the foster program, that they could get into a home where they could live, get launched into independent living, learn life skills, save money, get a car, prepare for life. And so she opened up the ministry, Grant Me Hope, opened up their first home a year ago, the boys' home. And has anybody eaten at the Rock Island restaurant? All right. Well, I live there. And that's our first home. My wife and I live there. And so we are the house parents of that home. And we've been excited about just bringing some young men. We've had up to 5 different men in the home for various amounts of time. And right now we have 2, and we just had one coming in the home, maybe another one next week, and we're excited about some of the opportunities there that we could speak hope, speak life into their lives. And so we just opened our home in Allegan, down at it's the old flower shop kind of home thing, if you've been out there on the south side. On M40, we have house parents there, and Carrie and Moses are there, and they're about ready to open up the flower shop again, and we're excited about that, and they're looking to bring some girls into there as soon as we can find them and bring them in. So that's coming up. Just recently, Grant Me Hope added to their ministry an infant adoption ministry. It's a ministry for families to get low-cost adoption, and we can provide and facilitate that to connect with mothers who would be in crisis pregnancies. And so we have some kind of a three-phase aspect to our ministry. And so that's a ministry that I have been a part of. since I work for an organization called Grant Me Hope, this past year I've had the opportunity to reflect on that word hope. Ultimately, what does it mean to have hope? Think about hope. Is it possible to live life without hope? Is it possible? It's definitely difficult, right? Definitely challenging. And it can lead, in fact, if you have hopelessness in your life, it can lead to very dark places if you don't have that, if you don't have hope. You know, as I've been just reflecting on this aspect of hope and being hopeful and giving hope to others, I've been looking around at my world that I'm currently living here in West Michigan. I just moved here just over a year from the east side of the state. And I begin looking at the world I'm kind of living in right now, and the reality, and I'm reflecting on hope and what that is. And every Monday morning now, for the past 8 months, I've been volunteering at the local food bank, Hungry for Christ. Everybody's familiar with Hungry for Christ. Hopefully, you are. And in that regard, you should be if you live in this town, right? In that regard. But I've been volunteering there on Monday mornings. They help supply food to the home, and so I also volunteer there. And I've gotten to know Bruce, and I've appreciated his heart and love for Jesus, and it's been good, and his heart to serve in that way. They provide food to 13 different counties. That's like, wow, you know, food pantries, I should say, in 13 different counties here in West Michigan and ultimately different places around the state. I've been learning about the magnitude of people who are living life with food insecurities. That's a real reality. And they have a food pantry that's part of that ministry, and people come in every week at various times. And, you know, as inflation has increased and that reality has grown even more, and the challenges, you've looked at your own food budget, right? You know, how much has it increased? And so there's that reality. And so we're thankful to see that. And so for people living life with food insecurities, being able to get food from a food pantry it's hope, right? It's hope. Next door to the Rock home, where Sue and I are house parents, there's this studio apartment in a neighboring building. And in fact, it was just recently renovated, well, about a year ago, it was renovated by the owner and a church here locally, a church family. And the purpose was to provide a place for a homeless family. It's a studio apartment, I think maybe one bedroom in it. And over the past year, we've seen a couple different families come in. We've gotten to know them. We let them use the laundry room at the Rock, and in that regard. And so we've had them over and gotten to know them for dinner. And so, you know, these families, they have nothing but their car. Something to think about. And so to have a studio apartment, even though you have three or four kids, that's hope, right? That's hope. For the organization Sue and I work for, I'm part of, Grant Me Hope, the purpose is to give hope to foster children and young adults. If you go to our website, in fact, I would encourage you to do that. It's called grantmehope.org. And check it out. Not right now, right? But check it out. And there's actually, you can search for videos, and you can find the story of Savannah. She's a young woman, an older foster child that was adopted by a family out in Virginia. In fact, she was just here last year at our celebration of Hope banquet, her and her family, and she told her story. And it was neat to see. For her, I appreciate about what she had to say. I was listening closely. I watched the video over a couple different times. But she, for her, she recognized that having hope is not about having a perfect family. that they did have difficulties, and they even and you can imagine when you adopt a child, there's going to be difficulties and challenges, and that. But they were persevering through that, and But it's about having having hope was just having a place where she could be empowered, a place where she can have a future, a place where she can experience love, and powerful thing. And I encourage you to watch that video. But here's the thing. Here's the reality. You can have food to eat, a place to live, a job that provides, a family you are a part of, and you can still live with hopelessness in your life. Why is that? Why is it that we can have so much in life and we can have great 401ks and retirement programs, and yet we have hopelessness in our life? For the first 6 months, we moved into the Rock there at the Rock Island restaurant, and we moved in. And so when I sold all my possessions and put them into a storage unit, and I sold my Mustang, and even that. I really miss that car. But we put all our possessions in a storage unit, moved into the Rock. We cut, no more cable TV and all that kind of stuff. So for the first 6 months, we lived life without TV and cable TV. And we weren't really connected to the world. It was kind of nice. A little bit on the internet. I could pick and choose, right? And I could decide what I'm gonna, look on the internet, on my computer, and that kind of thing, and that. But then six months in, we got internet TV, and one afternoon I flip on the news at lunchtime, and I'm watching a major news channel, and all of a sudden they're painting this picture of man, what this and that, and everything is wrong in our world, and they were just went into it, and immediately I became depressed, discouraged, and had feelings of hopelessness just watching the news for 10 minutes. Why is that? Why is it when we have so much, we can still live with hopelessness? Well, this is what I believe. It's because we live in a world that's a lot of discouraging things going on it, but primarily we have an enemy. And that is that we have an enemy, Satan, and his forces are continuing to be at work in the spiritual realm, looking to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. He wants to bring destruction ultimately to anyone he can in this world. He wants to bring destruction both physically, emotionally, and spiritually in the spiritual realm. And the best way that he does it is to take away our hope. He wants to squash. He wants to cause you to doubt. He wants to rip out the hope that we have. And I believe as followers of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have as followers of him, as disciples of him. And here's the thing. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came to deliver us from the hopelessness. Believers have been given many blessings that are wrapped up in Christ. And one of the greatest blessings is of hope, a hope that the darkness will someday be gone, a hope it will come to an end, a hope because Jesus has already triumphed over the darkness. And this hope begins when you have made peace with God by placing faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior and Lord. And until you deal with that issue, until you've humbled yourself and trusted Christ as a Savior, Lord, and hope for your life, your hope in food and housing and job and everything, it's only going to be, that's just temporary stuff. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, Peter writes of this hope that we have in Christ. And he describes it as a living hope. And so we're going to look at this passage, but just before we jump into the passage, I think it's important that we define hope. It's so important that you define it as a follower of Christ. In our world, most people, they define hope as wishful thinking. We hope that the Lions will win the Super Bowl next year, right? No football fans? Okay, all right. We hope that this will go well. We have this wishful thinking in that way. I hope something will happen. But this is not what the Bible means by hope. The biblical definition of hope is confident expectation. It's a hope that is a firm assurance regarding the things that are unclear and unknown. Hope here is a fundamental component. This kind of hope, this biblical hope, is a fundamental component of the life of the believer. Without hope, life loses its meaning. Life does not have any kind of purpose. But there's something that's even more powering about the Christian hope. And that's what Peter calls here is living hope. Now, let's think through this just together a little bit. If the opposite of living hope would be dead hope, right? In that regards, it brings to my mind James chapter 2, and where the writer speaks of dead faith. Faith without works is dead, right? James says this is faith that's unprofitable, fruitless, unproductive, what he says there in chapter 2. So living faith, and I believe by parallel, a living hope would be fruitful, productive hope. A living hope is a hope that has power, that produces change in one's life. This is what a living means in Hebrews 4:12, where it says the word of God is living and active or effective. So that Christian hope is it's a strong confidence in God and His Word, and that He has the power to produce change in how we live our lives. Now, in this passage, Peter gives, I kind of picked out three important aspects of living hope. And let me just share with you those things in the time that's remaining. One is this. A living hope in God is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter verse 3. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When Jesus died on the cross, where was Peter? Mentally, think about that. He had just denied Christ, right? There around the fire. Where was Peter emotionally in his life? He was a man without hope. He was full of bitter sorrow, the memory of his own failure, of his own curses, and his renouncing that he knew Jesus flowed over him. Then came the first reports. The first reports as he and the other disciples are in that upper room, and there's those first reports of the women to the fact that Jesus, He had risen. He is alive. There was the race to the tomb, a private appearance to Peter before appearing to the 11. And the scene in John, and then there's that scene in John 21 where Jesus forgives him. And hope is sparked to life. See, our living hope is as secure as the fact of Jesus' resurrection. A living hope grounded in the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is the God-man who died and rose again. And by His death and resurrection, He established forgiveness of sins and has given us a living hope. And that's why we look forward to Easter, right? The greatest event in the life of the church, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so important so foundational to what we believe. It gives us this living hope. Secondly, there's a thing here also in regards to this living hope that I want to highlight, is that a living hope in God is strengthened by faith in what's to come. Look at verse 4. It says, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now, you need to see here a certain kind of parallelism between verses 3 and verses 4. In the English translations, it's kind of hinted at in the little word, into. In verse 3, it says, into his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. And then he says in verse 4, and into, there's that word again, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. In other words, verse 3 says that we have received this new birth into a living hope, and verse 4 unpacks it. It begins to unpack this hope in terms of its object. And what is this hope that we're looking for or looking towards? Well, it's an inheritance. We have an inheritance that is coming, kept in heaven for us. At the same time, we are kept for it. We are shielded. We're told by God's power until the coming of the fullness of our salvation that will be revealed in last day. Peter here is writing to believers who were suffering. And maybe you can relate and understand some things here in that regards, because he's writing to believers who are suffering for being followers of Jesus Christ. They were being persecuted. And he wanted them to understand that this living hope is God's means of keeping us and empowering us. And so God is keeping this inheritance for which we hope, which we long for, and he preserves it in us in perseverance and faith. He actually shields us as we exercise our faith in his word and in his promise, and so we persevere in hope because we believe that in that which is coming one day, heaven is coming, which is why there's not much hope whether one struggles with their faith. If they're struggling with their faith, they can live with a lot of hopelessness in their life. It's so important. And then the third thing I want to highlight here is this. It's a living hope in God, and it's carried on to completion with joy. Now we're going to jump in at verse 6 here now. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds. These has come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may prove genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Think about this with me for a moment. When Jesus is in the tomb for those 3 days, Peter and his disciples, where are they? They're in the upper room, right? Cowardly. Here's the thing. Peter and the disciples, they're not in the upstairs room saying, man, I cannot wait till Sunday, man. I cannot wait, man. Jesus is coming back alive. No, what are they doing? They're living in fear. See, they had not connected the dots yet. They had not figured it all out yet. They were confused. They were fearful. They were hopeless. They could not see, even on the basis of Scripture, what we now seem pretty obvious to us, that first there had to be the suffering and then the glory. They could not see it. But now Peter did, as he writes this to Christians who were suffering. Now Peter writes to these suffering Christians, and he sees it, and he knows it. And in these verses, Peter provides several reasons why Christians can rejoice today. We can have joy. We can live life with hope, in this living hope that God has given us or has given them in Jesus Christ. And even though they find themselves facing grief and trials of various kinds, they can have hope. And what are the reasons for such? You can have joy. What are the reasons you can have joy in spite of what is going on in this world or maybe going on in your own life? Well, one is the suffering's temporary. Look again at verse 6. See the language says, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You know, when we think about for a little while, what comes to our mind? This afternoon, right? Maybe the next 2 weeks, right? In Peter's mind, though, here, in Peter's mind, he had life here on earth. He's looking at life and he's saying, this life is just a little while compared to what we'll have in eternity. Think with me for a moment. In 50 billion years, I'm just throwing a number out there. In 50 billion years, how will we look back on these days on earth? That's what eternity is, right? Think about that. When we get into eternity and we step into the fullness of what our salvation will bring, and we're in the presence of God, eternity, think about that. And then how will we look back on these days? Oh, it was a little time I had to suffer. It was a little time in that regard. It's just temporary. And Peter understood this. He understood this. Secondly, though, the reasons we can have joy or rejoice and have hope in life is that the trials empower us to endure. The tension between present pressures and the ultimate glory to come is what strengthens us in our faith. In other words, this tension produces endurance. When we live in this world and we experience its suffering, it produces this growth. If we walk in faith, it demonstrates ultimately if our faith is genuine, or maybe how strong our faith, and maybe where we need to grow in our faith in our life. And what happens though if we embrace it and we look to it and we understand that this is just this will empower us to endure? We can see it grow us. We can see it change us, deepen us, stretch us. Grows as followers of Jesus Christ. We can speak, a lot of times we can speak very boldly and effortlessly about things when about life when things are going well, right? We can talk, oh man, it's so good and God is so good. But when we get knocked about a bit in our faith, when we're tested, when we're challenged, a bit, you discover how deep the roots are, right? You begin to discover, hey, that's an area where I need to grow. That's where I need to trust God more. That's where I need to dig deeper roots in regards to my faith. James makes the same point when he says in the first chapter of James 1, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops this perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so there's this bringing to completion and growing us, continuing to deepen us in our walk that we are called to as we look at this world that's just a little while in perspective when we look at the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And so, there's a reason for great rejoicing here. Faith prepares us. It prepares us to live in hope. And hope keeps pushing us towards the future when we go through suffering, and it deepens our faith. Now, there's something here you need to see. There's our faith is circular in some ways in growth. We take steps of faith. We're going to step out on God's promises. We're going to believe in Him. It builds hope into our life, which empowers us to go through suffering, to overcome temptations, to face whatever it is that we may be going through, which grows us so that when we what? We take more steps of faith, which then empowers us. And then to go and face, and it builds hope in our life, and on it goes. And so the trials empower us. They empower us to endure. But then thirdly, the rewards here, the reasons we can have such rejoicing and hope is that the rewards, they're pretty incredible when you start to dig into them. Look back at verse 7. And here's the thing, they begin now. He says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, this faith we have is so valuable, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed one day. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Jesus is going to come back one day, and we're excited about that. And for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so the hope of eternal life, it's not just some distant thing that's often in the distance, far off in the future. Rather, you can live in this living hope. It's active, present right now, this living hope, now in this life. The hope of eternal life means that God is with you and nothing can change that. If you've placed your faith in Him, and this living hope you have is that because Jesus was raised from the dead, He will bring you through whatever hopeless situation you may be facing. God is faithful to all His promises, and this is what gives us hope. This hope, it tells you that because Jesus died and He rose for you, that the troubles of this life, they're just momentary. They're just momentary. They're momentary afflictions that will disappear when you take possession of your heavenly inheritance. Jesus has conquered death. He has conquered the difficulties of your life. He has conquered hopelessness and despair. And He calls us to then walk by faith into those things in our life. This is for the reason that we say that with Peter that we love Christ. We love Christ, even though we haven't seen Him. And we believe in Jesus Christ, even though we have not seen Him. We are blessed with a hope that centers on Peter's words, though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvations of your soul. You, my fellow believers in Christ, you are not hopeless. You don't have to live in hopelessness because you have seen, you have the risen Christ, and He is the source of all your hope. Would you pray with me? Lord, I come thankful to be able to share this word, but I'm thankful with a thankful heart, Lord, that You are the one who ultimately gives us the only hope that we can have in life, and that is through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I just pray for each one. I don't know where they're at, but You do. You know what's going on in their life, and God, I pray that You would speak by Your Holy Spirit into their life, encourage them to take steps of faith which build hope, then empower them to face whatever it is that they're facing and see You, God, grow them in their faith, and strengthen them with courage and joy and hope. I pray in thy name. Amen.